Good afternoon, 4:30 and 85 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Ashley Chapman.
We've got a state park and a golf course up there where I have to stand on the back of my truck bed to get service. We built that to attract industry and attract business.
State Senator Robin Webb is not happy with the quality of cell phone service in Northeast Kentucky. She told AT&T's Kentucky president just that this afternoon in Frankfort.
Five Lewis County students are hurt in a school bus accident.
And Congressman Thomas Massey says the war against drugs in Afghanistan is a waste of money.
In sports, the Eagles and the Bears do battle in a Monday night football.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Mostly clear weather tonight with lows in the lower 60s. The complete forecast after this news.
A school bus accident in Lewis County this morning injured five students. According to the Lewis County Herald, the bus veered off State Route 1306 near Kentucky 8 in Garrison and dropped into a ditch, causing extensive damage to the vehicle. Sheriff's Deputy Gary Spark says the bus driver, Teddy Thayer, told police an oncoming car forced the bus off the road about 7:45. Three of the injured students were taken by ambulance to a Portsmouth hospital, while two were driven there in cars. All the injuries were described as minor.
According to WSAZ, charges of manslaughter and DUI have been brought against a Southern Ohio man in connection with a fatal accident in Lewis County Sunday. The charges were filed against 34-year-old Brent Bostwick of South Webster in the death of another Ohio man, 24-year-old Derek Hettinger of Lucasville. The victim's 47-year-old mother, Valerie, was seriously injured in the crash on Kentucky 8. Lewis deputies say Bostwick was at the wheel of a pickup truck, which crossed the center line, and struck the car Hettinger was driving. Hettinger died at a Portsmouth hospital, and his mother remains in a trauma center with multiple injuries. Police say Bostwick was treated for minor injuries at Meadowview Regional Medical Center in Maysville, and then was released into custody. He is being held at the Lewis County Detention Center.
A Chesapeake police officer is hospitalized in critical condition after he crashed his cruiser early Sunday morning. The Ohio Highway Patrol says 24-year-old Aaron Christian's vehicle left State Route 7, hit a utility pole, and flipped over in a creek. The car then caught on fire. Christian was thrown into the water but was rescued by Shane Fuller and a friend who witnessed the accident. Fuller spoke with WSAZ.
There was a point, I was scared to go down there because you see in the movies and everything, cars blowing up all the time. But, I knew I had to go down there.
State troopers are investigating the accident. They say it happened about 2:30 in the morning.
The Bracken County Grand Jury has indicted a 21-year-old man on charges that he raped a juvenile. MSPR's Kyle Blankenbuehler has the story.
According to the Maysville Ledger Independent, the grand jury returned the indictment against Brandon Cunningham. He was arrested in mid-August for allegedly raping someone under the age of 16. Cunningham faces an arraignment October 20th in Bracken Circuit Court. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
State Senator Robin Webb is not happy with the state of cell phone service in Northeast Kentucky. The Carter County Democrat made that clear at a hearing in Frankfort this afternoon. Webb told AT&T Kentucky President Hood Harris there have been a lot of problems recently.
What's going on with cell service in Northeast Kentucky? You've had towers down. We've had like a week of very sporadic. It's becoming a public safety issue.
Harris acknowledges some technical difficulties in the region, which he says have been corrected.
You're referring, I guess, to the Ashland area where we had an outage that lasted, quite frankly, longer than it should. And it was one of our vendors that had a problem that we used to provide service. I believe we're back up there.
Senator Webb says cell service needs to be improved to attract more businesses to the Northeast Kentucky Regional Industrial Park and for the three state parks in the area.
Boyd County Sheriff's deputies have made some arrests in the area's fight against heroin. 69-year-old William Chafin of Huntington and a man called John Doe, who refused to reveal his actual name, were arrested and lodged in the Boyd County Detention Center Friday night. Police seized over 5 grams of heroin and $1,400 in cash. The men are charged with trafficking a controlled substance, tampering with physical evidence, and importing heroin. The arrests are part of a year-long investigation in which police tracked 6 individuals from Mexico to Texas to Arkansas and then back to Kentucky.
State Representative Rocky Adkins says drug addiction has been a problem in many communities for a long time. However, the Rallin County Democrat says he's especially concerned about the narcotics now being sold on the streets. He says they're more dangerous than anything he's seen before.
The drugs get stronger, they get more potent, they are more addictive. One time of using, you're addicted or you're dead. We have not seen that kind of serious epidemic, in my opinion, as we have seen over the last 5 to 6 years. That's the reason in this last session that I sponsored House Bill 4, which deals with synthetic drugs.
In some places, Adkins says, addicts are selling their heroin to buy the synthetic drug Flaca. He says police officers report that Flaca has triggered behaviors like none they've ever seen.
Add Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent to the list of public officials who support a needle exchange program in Rowan County to curb the spread of disease and drug abuse. Trent says the idea was more controversial a few decades ago, but studies indicate it probably deserves a chance to work.
It has not, over these many, over 30 years now of research, has shown that it has not increased criminal activity or increased drug use. You have to pay attention to that. You don't know until something's been tried and proven, and from everything I've been seeing here, especially tonight, confirming that, I believe anything we can do to prevent another death is what we have to do as a community.
Trent spoke last week following a community forum in Moorhead on the heroin epidemic.
Kentucky Congressman Thomas Massie says the U.S. should stop funding its anti-drug efforts in Afghanistan. The Republican from Garrison says the federal government has spent $8 billion to discourage the production of poppy in the country.
I asked the Deputy Secretary of Defense for that region, what do you have to show? What are your results? And all she could say was, we spent $8 billion. And I said, do you realize their production has doubled in the period of time you spent $8 billion? And she said, well, it went down 1 year.
Massie says the U.S. has also spent $113 billion trying to rebuild Afghanistan and promote a centralized government since the start of the war in 2001. He made his comments in Virginia at a symposium on foreign policy sponsored by the Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity. Massie was recently named to the Institute's board of directors.
The Kentucky Department of Agriculture has sent an official request to the federal government asking that it review any of its policies that could adversely affect the state's research involving industrial hemp. Ag Commissioner Ryan Quarles says, among other things, his agency needs to know what Uncle Sam's official definition for hemp is and if the state will have a free hand to look into all the possible ways that hemp can be used, including its oil. And Quarles says that's not all Kentucky is asking for.
We want to make sure that we're able to transport industrial hemp across state lines with as much ease as possible. We want to make sure that our policymakers know that any innovative process requires collaboration from various entities across the country. And so we want to make sure that it's easy to transport across state lines.
Quarles believes that industrial hemp has the potential to be a major crop for Kentucky farmers. Hemp is used in such things as rope, clothing, and cosmetics.
The head of a Canadian-based company says he decided to build his first U.S. plant in Kentucky because it did not look upon his firm as just another manufacturer. That's what the president and CEO of Champion Pet Foods told House and Senate members of the State General Assembly's Agriculture Committee last week. Frank Birdsey says officials from the Kentucky Department of Economic Development helped close the deal that put the facility and its 150 jobs in Logan County.
We knew we needed to be somewhere in continental USA. It's our fastest growing market, access to Latin America. Our first analysis gave us 8 or 9 states that were particularly attractive. When we started to meet with those states, very quickly we got down to about five or six, and that was really where it kicked into the quality of the people that you had working on the account.
Birdsey says Kentucky saw Champion as an exciting addition to the Commonwealth's agricultural sector.
Its president says an innovative of her nonprofit organization is improving the health of Kentuckians, lowering health care costs, and boosting farmers' incomes. Sandy Cannon heads Bluegrass Harvest, which sponsors a program called Community Supported Agriculture. She says three self-insured employers are providing $200 vouchers for their workers to buy fresh fruit and vegetables over a 20 to 25 week period. Cannon says the participants are the University of Kentucky, Hospice of Kentucky, and Appalachian Regional Healthcare. She says UK conducted a pilot study of the CSA voucher initiative during the 2015 growing season, and the results were promising.
With the two averages, the Kentucky average and the CSA user, obviously the daily consumption of veggies and fruit went up. Doctor's visits went from 7.5 to 2 in that time period. Pharmacy expenditures went from almost $34 to $17. So you can see those real health care costs dropping just in that time.
Cannon is calling on the state of Kentucky to join the program and offer vouchers to all its employees.
The company's project to convert a former natural gas pipeline in 18 Kentucky counties into one that transports highly volatile liquid natural gas will get further scrutiny by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. The agency initially planned to finish an environmental impact study of Kinder Morgan's plan this month, but now says that review won't be done until November 2nd. The pipeline runs from Greenup County down to Simpson County and passes through Rowan. Rowan County Judge Executive Walter Blevins is among those who worry about the safety of the project. He's not happy that Kinder Morgan has rejected his previous request to hold a hearing in the Moorhead area on that topic.
They don't really want a public meeting because there's a lot of people upset about it. They don't want to bring their people into a fire pit, I guess. But they still should have to talk to the public, I think, and address our concerns.
Kinder Morgan has promised to thoroughly test the pipeline to make sure it's safe to transport liquid natural gas through it.
A Southern Ohio congressman is appealing to U.S. Energy Secretary Ernest Moniz to find funding to complete the cleanup of sites where uranium was once processed for the nuclear weapons program. Republican Bill Johnson made the pitch at a hearing in Washington last Friday.
Like the Portsmouth, the Piketon facility. Those are very important that we keep those projects on a path to completion.
Johnson says the Piketon facility needs to be decontaminated so it can be used for other purposes. The former gaseous diffusion plant spans 640 acres. It was built in the 1950s.
Sealed bids for the job of building the new access road to the Rowan Campus Center for Maysville Community and Technical College will be open Friday. Russ Ward is director of the campus.
That will go out, I guess, on state contract bids because it is a state project. It's not a KCTCS project. This road that will lead into the campus and connect with 801 and the industrial road that goes in the industrial park will be a county road.
Which means Rowan County's road department will be responsible for the maintenance of the two-lane road. Construction, meanwhile, continues on the $28 million facility for the Rowan campus of MCTC. It will host the new Center for Advanced Manufacturing Technology when it opens in 2018.
Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin's spokeswoman is leaving to take a position with the Donald Trump campaign. Jessica Ditto is resigning to become Deputy Communications Director for the Republican nominee for president. Before being named as Bevin's spokeswoman last year, Ditto was a communications director for his campaign and transition office. She also worked for former Republican Governor Ernie Fletcher and the Republican Party of Kentucky. Ditto will work in New York with Jason Miller, Trump's senior communications advisor. Miller was a consultant for Bevin's 2015 campaign for governor. taking a look at your weather forecast for the area. Tonight is going to be mostly clear with lows in the lower 60s. Tuesday will be sunny with highs in the mid 80s. Tuesday night clear, lows around 60 degrees. Wednesday will be sunny with highs in the upper 80s. That night clear, lows in the lower 60s. Thursday will be sunny with highs in the upper 80s. Thursday night mostly clear, lows in the lower 60s. And Friday will be sunny with highs in the upper 80s. Temperatures for the surrounding area include Ashland sitting at 83 degrees. It's 84 degrees in Flemingsburg, 81 in Inez. Lexington is sitting at 84 degrees. Winchester is 83 degrees. And it is currently 85 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
4:46, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It's good to have you along on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, college classes are back in session in Kentucky, and with them, the risk of sexual assault. The Kentucky News Connection's Greg Stottlemyre has that story.
With college classes in full swing and dorms teeming with eager and excited students, there is one unwelcome part of the new academic year, the red zone. That's the first 6 to 10 weeks of the semester, when a higher percentage of sexual assaults occur on college campuses. Eileen Rechtenwald with the Kentucky Association of Sexual Assault Programs says bystander intervention has become an important part of prevention, both on Kentucky's college campuses and in high schools.
These are the things we always used to say, go with your friends. Well, you know, if somebody is intent on sexually assaulting you, they will take you away from your friends. They will isolate you in some way. A bystander is taught what to look for, what kind of vulnerabilities.
Rechtenwald says bystander intervention can safely and effectively help reduce sexual assaults, and she points to the Green Dot program, which was created and first used at the University of Kentucky. A 5-year study in more than 24 Kentucky high schools found Green Dot reduced sexual violence by more than 50%. The red zone warning is being sounded on college campuses across the country. Irene Dwinell, who runs a rape crisis center in North Carolina, agrees with Rechtenwald that everyone can play a role in protecting fellow classmates.
This isn't everyone's responsibility. So, for example, if you're going to tell your daughter, don't go anywhere without your phone charged, same information to your son. And to ensure that our now college-age sons and daughters feel confident and competent to potentially interrupt the situation.
According to the National Sexual Violence Resource Center, 9 out of 10 victims of rape or sexual assault know their attacker, and it's estimated that for every 1,000 women attending a college or university, there are 35 incidents of rape each academic year. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
4:48, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock, and we'll have sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the UK College of Public Health, with a reminder to parents to ensure the health of your child by offering a healthy diet and regular doctor checkups, including vaccines. The human papillomavirus, or HPV, is a common cancer-causing virus. The CDC recommends 3 doses of the HPV vaccine for all boys and girls ages 11 to 26. Total Care Pharmacy at 206 West Main Street in Morehead is now offering the vaccine with no appointment needed. More information at 784-4491.
Eagles try to fly in the Windy City. Good afternoon, this is MSPR's Sports Report. I'm Sean Delaney. In Monday Night Football, the Philadelphia Eagles make their way to the Windy City of Chicago tonight to face the Chicago Bears. MSPR's Kenzie Thompson reports.
Eagles rookie quarterback Carson Wentz will make his first appearance on national TV after an impressive performance in Philly's opening week win over Cleveland when he passed for 278 yards and 2 touchdowns. The 0-1 Bears will be out to bounce back after losing to Houston 23-14. They hope to improve defensively after the Texans converted 10 of their 20 third-down opportunities against them. Jay Cutler will likely try to exploit the Eagles' secondary with wide receivers Kevin White and Alshon Jeffrey. The game begins at 8:30 p.m. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
It was a disappointing Sunday for the Cincinnati Bengals in Pittsburgh as they lost to the Steelers 26-16. Coach Marvin Lewis's team piled up 412 yards of offense but had trouble getting into the end zone.
We didn't play well enough, early enough, long enough. But, you know, we really got behind today in field position and, you know, led some long fields for the offense and put the defense on some short fields. I thought we did a good job of hanging in the football game, but not enough to get the key stops, their third down. Not stopping enough third downs is really, you know, the evident in the football game and conversely on offense.
Andy Dalton passed for 366 yards for the Bengals. However, they rushed for just 46 yards and went 0-3 in the red zone scoring chances. The 1-1 Bengals face Denver next weekend in their home opener. There were over 20 injuries in the NFL on Sunday. With the Big Five, here's Greg Jenkins.
Patriots backup quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo walked off the field under his own power after taking a big hit in the second quarter versus the Dolphins. Patriots officials say he is day-to-day. According to KFAN Radio, Minnesota Vikings running back Adrian Peterson has a torn right meniscus and is ruled out for Week 3. San Diego Chargers running back Danny Woodhead has reportedly torn his ACL following being tackled on a short reception. He will be out for the season. Cleveland Browns QB Josh McCown is out for Week 3 to rest a battered shoulder following a rough game against the Ravens. Rookie Cody Kessler will start in his place. And Denver linebacker DeMarcus Ware broke his forearm on Sunday. He is expected to miss 4 to 5 weeks following surgery. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
The Morehead State football Eagles picked up their first win of 2016 over the weekend. The Eagles rolled a 56-6 Lafayette home over Lincoln University at Jane Stadium. MSU coach Rob Tenier says his team's offense was very good. The group rolled up 514 total yards, of which 258 came through the air and 256 on the ground.
It's nice to be balanced. You know, I'm not a big cliche guy when it comes to that, but I want to run and be successful. I want to convert third downs and obviously score points. You know, you got to be good in the red zone, and we had a few opportunities tonight, and we did a nice job and scored touchdowns like you should.
Freshman Trevor Jones also returned a punt for a touchdown, the first time that happened for MSU since 2005. The 1-2 Eagles begin PFL play next Saturday at Drake. Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops is calling Saturday's 62-42 win over New Mexico State a step in the right direction. Stoops says the win gets the Wildcats on the right track.
You know, we got a chance to get to 500 next week, and that's the next opportunity, and that's what we have to do. Our team will get better, and there's no doubt about it. I thought it was good things to see Steven come in and play like that with Drew getting hurt.
Filling in for injured starting quarterback Drew Barker, junior Steven Johnson came off the UK bench to pass for 310 yards and 3 touchdowns. He also rushed for 51 yards. The 1-2 Cats return to Commonwealth Stadium next Saturday to face South Carolina. The Morehead State baseball team officially starts its fall practices today. Coach Mike McGuire says he and his assistants will be taking a particularly hard look at the team's pitching staff, which lost a number of key guys after the 2016 season.
Three of them are in pro ball right now, so we've got some arms to replace, but same time the talent's there, but we got to pitch. You know, we're going to look good on scout day, but we got to get outs on the weekend. That's what's really important. But I like our arms. I like our club.
The Baseball Eagles will conclude fall practices in late October with their annual three-game Badena split inter-squad series. And finally, this afternoon, the Round County boys soccer team plays at 6:30 tonight at Greenup County. Coach Max Hemmen likes the Vikings' balanced attack this season. They're led right now by Ryan Mullen and Corey Hilton, who each have 4 goals apiece.
You know, there's several people with three, several people with two. So, I mean, it's not, you know, it's not one person for sure. And you know, we've got several kids with getting on the assist board also. And it's a very team balanced effort this year, which I'm pleased with.
The Vikes will take a 6-3-1 record into tonight's battle with the Musketeers. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Sean Delaney.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagles Soccer opens their OVC schedule on Tuesday by hosting Austin Peay at MSU's Jane Stadium. Game time is 7 p.m. Tickets from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons.
This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed mostly flat after a choppy session, with telecom lagging as investors geared up for two key central bank meetings. And the Dow at one time was up over 100 points today, but did finish with a slight loss of 3.63 at 18,120.17. The S&P 500 was down 0.04 at 2139.12. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 9.54 at 5235.03. New York Stock Exchange breadth was just over 2-1 in favor of winning stocks over losers, so the broader market definitely stronger than the major indices today. U.S. crude prices rose 0.625% to settle at $43.30 a barrel after earlier gaining more than 2%, as Venezuela's President Maduro said that a deal could be announced this month to stabilize oil markets. The U.S. Federal Reserve and the Bank of Japan are both scheduled to deliver their latest decisions in monetary policy this Wednesday. Market expectations for a Fed rate hike this week were relatively low. Expectations for a December rate hike by the Fed are now roughly 50%, and the Bank of Japan, meanwhile, is expected to take some action as speculation points to a possible rate cut deeper into negative territory. Gold futures for December delivery were up $7.60 an ounce at $1,317.80. Among Dow stocks today, your best performers were 3M and IBM. Your worst performers were Merck and Intel. And in the S&P 500, your best performers were Michael Kors and Red Hat. And the worst performers were Chesapeake Energy and Wynn Resorts. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up 269 at 122.44. CSX down 6 cents at 29.27. Marathon Petroleum up 11 cents at 43.73, AEP up 60 cents at 65.41, AK Steel up 18 cents at 4.30, and Community Trust Bank was down 36 cents to finish at 36.55. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for programming on MSPR comes from the Mountain Arts Center, Prestonsburg Tourism, City of Prestonsburg, and Paintsville Tourism, presenting the Levisa Fork Paddle Jam September 23rd and 24th. Weekend package includes a 16-mile kayak-slash-canoe trip, two nights camping, meals, and Friday night concert featuring Railroad Earth. Tickets and more information at 606-886-2623 and online at macarts.com.
Weather for tonight for the listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. Tonight's going to be mostly clear, lows in the lower 60s. Tuesday will be sunny, highs in the mid-80s. Tuesday night clear, lows around 60. Wednesday will be sunny with highs in the upper 80s. That night clear, lows in the lower 60s. Thursday will be sunny with highs in the upper 80s. Thursday night mostly clear with lows in the lower 60s. Friday will be sunny with highs in the upper 80s, and Friday night will be mostly clear with lows dipping down into the lower 60s. Taking a look at temperatures for the surrounding area, it is currently 83 degrees in Ashland, 84 degrees in Flemingsburg. Inez is sitting at 81 degrees. It is 84 degrees in Lexington, 83 degrees in Winchester, and it is currently 85 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
And that'll do it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Mraz, Ellen Barnett, Courtney Howell, Sean Delaney, Jacob Lindberg, Kenzie Thompson, and Kyle Blankenbuehler. From the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyer. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BHINS. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ashley Chapman and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.